Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with the Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From Serial Productions and the New York Times, this is the Improvement Association.
Chapter 5. Democrat, Republican, White, Black, Green. It's the Democratic primary, February 2020, Bladen County, North Carolina. There's a flurry of candidate signs stuck in the ground, mostly Bloomberg and Buttigieg, which is odd. They're not popular here. But no one cares about the presidential primary much. The race that matters is the county commissioner's race. The Bladen County Board of Commissioners is the top governing body in Bladen. Cogdill's been commissioner for 8 years. He's running for re-election, and he's being challenged for his seat. In fact, he's facing the exact scenario that he and Horace are always warning about. The main candidate challenging Cogdill is Black, and there's another challenger in the primary who is white. Having two Black candidates run for the same seat here means they're in danger of splitting the Black vote between them and letting the white guy run up the middle. The Black guy running against Cogdill has been launched at him like a grenade by none other than Minnie Price, former treasurer of the PAC, who recently quit in frustration about how Horace and Cogdill were behaving as leaders of the group. It's Minnie's nephew running against Cogdill. His name is Mark Gillespie. I found out pretty quickly this election is high drama and high stakes, because a win for Mark Gillespie and a loss for Cogdill would be a very public blow and a signal that the PAC's power is in decline. It's early, but the tents are up, the campaign workers are out. When I get to the polling place, I run right up to Charles. He goes by Tojo.
Here we go again.
I recognize him from the last election. He's usually wearing a tracksuit and always works elections every single day of early voting.
You got a big turnout.
Oh, trust me, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Last year, Tojo worked the Elizabethtown municipal election hard on the Horace and Cogdill side. I remember him saying how he was really trying to get the vote out for these three ladies. This election, the first thing Tojo did when I saw him was press a Mark Gillespie card into my hand and tell me he was done with Bladen Improvement, done with Cogdill.
Because if you ain't doing nothing, we don't need you. You see how bad he get beat.
He, meaning Cogdill. A lot of people don't like him, you'd be surprised, Tojo told me. While Cogdill, quote, doesn't do anything for the kids, Mark's really involved, Tojo said. He runs the Dixie Youth Baseball League, leads the scout troop he was in when he was a kid. Today's Sunday, Souls to the Polls Day. A lot of people are showing up to vote in fancy dresses, church outfits. Tojo gives a card to every one of them.
Them ladies like Mark.
Who are those ladies? Do you know them?
I don't know them. I don't know them white ladies. Them white ladies been knowing Mark for years.
Those two or just in general?
No, a lot of them been knowing him for years.
The white ladies?
Yes. And a lot of them will tell you, he's a good kid. They always say that about him. Mm-hmm. And they've been wanting him to do that.
Mm-hmm. To run for office?
Yes.
White people like Mark. I file away in my head.
Robert, don't stay away so long.
Mark Gillespie's here, calling out to people, joking around.
I know!
Mark's 52, but looks younger, quick with a wide smile and a wave. His tent definitely has the most going on. The most signs, a table with swag on it. There are rows of red potato chip bags out that say, "Vote Mark Gillespie, Bladen County Commissioner Countywide," with Mark's face on them. They're cool.
I had a friend of mine.
Okay.
Just made them up, and she done for Ma's birthday, and I sent him and liked him. So she done them for me for that.
Oh, I see. So yeah. You saw it at a birthday party.
Yeah.
I've never seen a personalized
either.
Potato chip bag.
That's pretty cool.
I was very professional looking.
That's what I said. I was amazed. And they're hit so far. I mean, I just let them try them out and they like it. One lady said she's gonna take over for the souvenir.
Mark seems sweet, really leading with nice. That's his brand I'm getting. Gets along with everybody type guy. I'm just watching him talk to people. Then Mark whispers to me, apropos of nothing I noticed, you need to make light of that kind of stuff.
You make light of that kind of stuff.
What?
This whole process. And I, believe me, I want to win.
Yeah.
I want to win, but it's crazy. The process is crazy.
What do you mean?
Just the stuff that you have to go through. The antics that are pulled.
The stuff you have to go through. The antics that are pulled. I don't know what he's talking about at this moment. Sure, there are three county commissioner competitors right on top of each other here, but it actually feels less awkward than I would have thought. Mark's tense, though. Now I see it. He does not love conflict. You know who does kind of love it, though? His Aunt Minnie, who put him up to this. She's been telling everyone around her, Cogdale has got to go.
This is the first time he ever had opposition.
I know.
First time. And he's been getting by scot-free. And he's telling people, Minnie, push Mark up to run. She gonna make me spend some money. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make you spend some money. And I'm gonna work hard to make sure that you don't get back in that seat.
Minnie and Mark are making a bold calculation, given Bladen's history. They're betting that Mark can get a combination of black and white votes. And it will be enough to push Cogdale out.
Mark has a lot of support from white people, I'll tell you that. That is true. He has a lot of support from white people. He has a lot of support from black people. Because white folks and black folks do not like Cogdale. And they want Cogdale out of that position.
I want to beat Mark ass bad enough that the people would look and say, if you give him a vote, you're just wasting the vote.
I talked to Cogdale days later, sitting outside the polling place in his truck because it's cold. He's glowering out at Mark's tent, talking about him like he's some pointless third-party candidate.
That's the message I'm hoping I can send.
Maybe you want to beat him, like, by a lot.
Yeah, so they'll look and say, is this a waste of damn time? Cogdale speaking.
At different times, both Horace and Cogdale tell me that Mark's gamble is a losing one. White people almost never vote for black candidates down here. That's what they say, but Cogdale is clearly anxious about beating Mark. Because if Mark and Minnie's approach works, and Mark gets elected with a coalition of white and black voters, that means it's possible to attain black political power in Bladen without the help of the PAC. That's basically the definition of an existential threat. From Serial Productions, I'm Zoe Chase. This is The Improvement Association, a true story about election fraud. Cogdale is an incumbent who doesn't want to lose his seat. Obviously. So just on that score, he's anti-Mark. But it's not just that. He and Horace see something more sinister happening here. The first thing Horace and Cogdale told me when they heard Mark was running was, Mark is basically a front for white people in Bladen who want to get rid of Cogdale. They are also certain that Mark, if elected, will go along with the white county commissioners and set things back for black people in Bladen County. They talk unequivocally about how a Mark victory would be a threat to their community. And I was like, really? How are you so sure? Well, for one thing, Cogdale tells me, he's looked up Mark's campaign finance report, and it's full of white funders, including the Clarks, the Greens, and the Campbells. Three out of the four white families that, according to Cogdale, run downtown Elizabethtown. Cogdale sees powerful white people in Bladen, financially supporting his black rival. And he can't help but wonder.
You try not to read stuff into stuff, but you can't help but do it. We struggle to get minority representation. And then you see a white individual inject themselves into it. You have to ask yourself, why would they do that?
Like the white people backing Mark Gillespie.
Yeah, you see them start doing stuff like that. Why would you do that?
These white donors, Cogdale's saying, are only backing Mark Gillespie so they can control him. He and Horace don't believe it's even up to Mark what kind of commissioner he would be. His decisions would never be his own. At the risk of sounding like a Tom Clancy novel, they believe Mark Gillespie to be compromised. To Cogdale, this is clear from the way he says white people in Bladen talk about Mark.
He's a good boy. Mark's a good guy. I know he's a real good guy. They won't say that about me. I wonder why. They want someone that they can control.
It's deeper than just campaign money, though. What makes Mark the perfect choice of these white funders to run against Cogdale, in Cogdale's opinion, is Mark's job. Mark runs a liquor store in town, which I was like, okay, and?
That is not his store. That store is owned by the town of Elizabethtown. Mark managed the store.
And what's the problem with him being, with him managing a store that the city owns?
The people who got angry with me for trying to shake up their system was the town board.
Right.
Who better person would they send to send at me than somebody that they pay every day? And their income comes.
Cogdale says people are still mad at him and Horace for trying to shake up the Elizabethtown Council last year when they backed those three women. Cogdale believes people close to the town council then pushed Mark to run against him. And Cogdale's theory is, if Mark is elected, he'll have to vote the way the town wants him to, because they own the store where he works.
He has no other choice, Zoe. What choice does he have? His livelihood. He runs the liquor store, and that's his job. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't do what the town board and them tell them to do, where is he going to go? He could be out of a job.
Now, calling your opponent a shill for corporate interests, that is not new in campaigns. This is different, though. For Cogdale and Horace, it's less of a tactic than a worldview. Cogdale and Horace believe that in order for a black elected official to actually represent black interests at the top of the county, he or she must be financially independent from whites. There's no other way. That doesn't mean you can never be paid by a white person. Both Cogdale and Horace have done work for and with white people over the years. The point is, never depend on them. Don't need them. Financial independence means political independence. To Cogdale, that equation hardly bears articulating, so self-evident. I have always known this, he says. Cogdale says even when his father worked at the mill for someone else, he had his own side business, fixing cars. His mother had a salon business. Horace is on the same page. He likes to talk about his dad owning his farm, tobacco, corn, soybeans, and a hardware store, and a restaurant. Cogdale says his grandfather owned his own business, and he was the model for all the kids and the grandkids.
He always worked and provided everything he had. Came from him. He tell you, I didn't have to go ask white folk for nothing. I had everything I wanted. They'd come buy stuff for me. And he just told his family that was the way to be. Have your own.
Same with politics. Cogdale says his uncle told him, look, in politics, if someone says they want to give you money, tell them to give it to an organization with a purpose, supporting black issues and black people. Don't let anyone give you money personally, because if you do, that person will think they own you.
And my daddy taught me this, Zoe. Boy, they brought your great-great-granddaddy and they put a price tag on him and stood it out and paraded him out in front of people just like a piece of meat, just like a hog or a dog. If you sit there and let them do that to you, you ain't no better than what the white man did to your great-great-granddaddy. You had just put the price on your back. He said the sad thing, they didn't have a say about it. You got a say about it. You can say yes or no. You don't have to. You can say yes or no.
The power to say yes or no. That's the heart of it. For Cogdale as county commissioner and for the PAC, especially the no part. Saying no is one of the PAC's most important tools on the county commission. And it's what Cogdale and Horace worry that Mark would undermine if he's elected. Take, for example, the sales tax. The sales tax is probably the best illustration of the power of the PAC's no. Bladen is a poor county. For years, they've been trying to raise some revenue with a quarter-cent sales tax increase. And for years, the PAC has opposed it, put no on their sample ballot, and successfully shot it down. The sales tax has been a frequent topic of frustration at county commission meetings. like this one time. This is from a few years ago when the sales tax was being put on the ballot for the fourth time. A local woman, Charlotte Smith, came up to the mic during the public comment section. Charlotte is proprietor of one of the only two media outlets in Bladen County, Bladen Online, and a property owner in the county.
You know, we've tried to pass the sales tax. This will be the fourth time. And our schools need help desperately. Our EMS needs help desperately. And I don't think that it's fair for the property owners to have to fit the bill all the time. And this is the fourth time that the PAC has put it on their ballot to vote against this sales tax. So my question is, why don't you support the sales tax, the members of the PAC?
You want my response?
Yes, ma'am. Sure.
This is Delilah Blanks, one of the founding members of the PAC. She was a county commissioner then. She speaks slowly, gravely, like a judge.
I supported putting it on the ballot because every citizen in Bladen County should have a right to vote their conscience. But until this board decides how that money is going to be spent, I'm against it one time. I was against it the second time. I was against it the third time. I'll be against it the next time. I'm a member of the PAC and proud of it. I voted against it. I'm proud of it. And I'm encouraging everybody that I can encourage to keep on voting against it until we can commit ourselves as to how it's going to be spent.
What the PAC had been pushing for years was a public written commitment by the county commission that the sales tax money, when it came in, would be put towards specific listed goals and would be distributed in an equitable way across the county. In the past, the county has said they'd dedicate funds to majority Black areas, only to later renege. So the PAC thinks it has good reason to dig in. But to Charlotte Smith, and probably a lot of people at the meeting that day, it seemed like the PAC was just being stubborn. The county is hurting. It really needs money.
My concern is that it seems that this PAC has a lot of power. And
it does.
That, I know it does.
It does. And
yes,
it makes sense to
have it. I know. So
we need to work together cooperatively to do it.
I would just like to say that I feel like this PAC has a lot of power. And I would like to see the sales tax passed so that we can make improvements that Bladen County needs. I don't understand why this PAC can work together, but our Board of Commissioners cannot.
In Bladen County, almost every dollar that passes through the county commission is contested. And the money fights often break down along racial lines. The trust level is zero, Cogdale says. The majority, at least 5 out of the 9 commissioners, is white and lately Republican. For the last several years, there have been 3 Black commissioners, all PAC members, so 3 out of 9. They do what they can with the numbers they have. I saw this clearly when I looked through years of minutes from county commissioner meetings. Like the PAC members on the commission constantly asking, where is this or that money going? Is any of it going to the Black parts of the county? How much? What's being allocated for the fill-in-the-blank, parks, school building repairs, EMS, in majority Black areas? In that way, if they stand together, they can at least get things into the public record. Sometimes they can force a compromise or marshal the people they represent, the voting bloc, to take action, like with the sales tax. Mark Gillespie, Cogdale's rival in this county commission election, says he'll support the sales tax. No written commitment, like the PAC's been holding out for. No strings attached at all. He won't stand with the PAC on this. What's worse, from Horace's perspective, he worries that Mark will provide the white majority on the commission with a sort of shield anytime he votes with them. They'll have a black person on their side in case someone tries to call them out for voting against black interests. Horace says he sees this a lot in Bladen County.
Anytime there's a controversial issue going on where the eyes of black man said, this is blatant racism. How can it be when you got a black man sitting at the president of the board?
White people use him.
Correct.
Throw him in front to be like, how can you could say it's racist for this black guy?
Because we have a black man that's president of this board. How can it be racism? In Bladen County, when you find black men that are well-liked by white people, those white people have that black man in their pocket.
That's the only explanation.
That's the only explanation.
When it comes to Mark and some others in Bladen, Horace says they were born that way, on the wrong side. It's like math for him, incontrovertible. Also, it gets really personal.
You have some guys in Elizabethtown, some men in Elizabethtown, their parents cleaned houses for the rich people. And they befriended, they were friends with their children. They grew up together.
I was kind of shocked by this, that Mark's mom's job could be another piece of evidence that Mark was compromised. Horace assures me he's not looking down at what Mark's mom did for work. Horace says he's just saying this tells you something about Mark as a politician. Mark's always been tight with white people. I've asked Horace about this a few times.
What should I conclude from that? What does that mean about Mark, that his mom was a maid for the white
people? That's the connection of Mark and white people. They grew up together because if his mama was a maid, he got to be around white people and they befriended each other. So Mark is one of them in a sense. He's not a black person like me.
They say that I'm the white man's boy or the white man's, whatever.
Mark just isn't surprised by any of these attacks. He's lived here his whole life. He's had this job at the liquor store for 20 years. He's heard this stuff. And he says it's politics.
You mentioned to me before that they said that because I work for the town of Elizabethtown, and work for the ABC store, that I can be controlled. That crowd, the Bladen Improvement crowd, Anybody who's not part of that organization that runs for an office, they're going to work hard against them. Yeah. I don't care where they work at. Regardless of what some people in the back thinks, it was not white people that asked me to run. It was black people that asked me to run. Black people that are tired of them that asked me to run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was several of them. It was not one or two. It was several of them asking me to run.
It wasn't like did Matt Campbell call you and say, want to take Cogdale out?
Matt Campbell called me and asked me to run. And that's Cogdale, and I don't like calling his name. But that's his favorite thing he's telling everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of what he says, no. I was asked by black people to run, not Mr. Campbell and his family, who's I've known all my life, grew up with his boys. Once they found out, then they supported me.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not ask me to run. And there's nothing wrong with them supporting me.
For Mark's part, he's like, that's rich, having Horace and Cogdale accuse him of being controlled by his white supporters. That's exactly the sort of control the PAC exerts over its candidates. The candidates the PAC endorses have to vote the way the PAC wants, or they won't get endorsed the next time. That's the PAC's main criterion for whom they choose.
Anybody they can control.
Okay.
That's what I think. Anybody that thinks like they think and votes the way they want them to vote, no matter what, whether it's an issue that's really not nothing you should be voting against, but because the PAC don't support it, then you are not going to support.
Like, for example, that sales tax.
Right, the sales tax. That was the right thing to do. But they encouraged people to vote against it because it was not designed the way they exactly wanted it.
For Mark, the sales tax is straightforward. The county needs the money. And Mark doesn't automatically distrust what other county commissioners say. If they say it'll go to schools, he believes them. And he believes it'll be done fairly. Mark was actually a county commissioner once before. And while Horace likes to say that Mark always voted with the white majority back then, I looked at his past votes and saw that sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. Mark says he's an independent thinker. He doesn't align with just one group. And even though he's running as a Democrat, he doesn't align with just one party either.
I know a lot of people. I've been around a lot of people. I treat everybody the same. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, white, black, green. Everybody's the same in my eyes, unless they do something to me to prove to me they're not. Yes, there are Republicans that support me. I got my signs in Republican people yards. They said, can you put that sign up?
Who said?
People that own the property where all the Republican signs are at. Uh-huh. They asked me to put the sign up there. And Republican votes are just as good as Democrat votes.
For Mark, those signs are the perfect symbol of how he plans to be as commissioner. Building coalitions, not beholden to any group in particular, open to everyone. And I mean everyone.
Is anybody watching this little thing on Hunter Biden? Could you imagine if that was me?
At a Trump campaign event in Bladen, Eric Trump was the featured speaker. I ran into one of Mark's boosters, Ray Britt.
How are you?
Ray Britt of the furniture store and the ballot of the nursing home ballots.
I look forward to working with him. Mark Gillespie will be a commissioner.
Oh, you think so?
Mark Gillespie will be a commissioner.
Ray was one of the incumbents, running for re-election for the county commission himself. He was in a good mood, seemed relaxed about his own re-election chances. He was like, if I lose, then God has answered my wife's prayers. Ray was psyched at the prospect of Mark Gillespie being on the board, and psyched about who he'd probably replace.
I'm looking forward to his personality, his attitude, and to help everybody. And I can get more with that than I can Mr. Cogdell. And I say that with all due respect. But, you know, when things aren't working, it's time to make a change. And I think people have seen it's time to make a change. And
it wasn't so much Ray's enthusiasm for Mark, but the way Ray characterized Mark that I noticed as a black guy who won't only be looking out for black people. That's the kind of thing that makes Horace and Cogdale suspicious of Mark.
And Mark Gillespie's one that we can sit down and we can do things for this county. And party won't have anything to do with it. Race won't have anything to do with it. Humanity will have a lot to do with it.
Ray told me he thought people in the county were tired of Cogdale. He's done, was Ray's assessment. More about who's done or isn't done after the break.
Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? It's easy to ignore our needs and spread ourselves too thin. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/serial today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/serial.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Okay, it's time to talk about Willie Lynch. In the storefront where the pack meets, Cogdale's office, there's very little decoration. There's a whiteboard and this laminated poster. It looks like a manifesto on an old scroll. I asked Cogdale about it.
I'm trying to figure out where I got that thing from. But I got them offline, somebody, a friend gave it to me. It's somewhere, I got it somewhere. I can't even remember where I got it from.
The poster is an excerpt from a speech, supposedly given in Virginia in the 1700s by this white guy named Willie Lynch, talking to other slave owners about how to solve their quote-unquote problems with slaves, how to control them. The Willie Lynch speech is a known thing. It's been around. People quote it. Rappers rap about it. Scholars agree it is definitely not from 300 years ago. The consensus is it was probably written by someone in the 1960s. It resonates. Cogdale thinks what's on this poster explains absolutely what is going on right now between himself and Mark Gillespie in the commissioner race. He's like, look at the whole picture. This election is just part of a much larger, much older dynamic.
Look at this here. You looking at me and Mark run.
Yeah.
Look at that shit. Cogdale spreads the poster with the speech on it out on the table and starts reading it to me. This part is offering specific advice about how to best maintain control over enslaved Black people by turning them against each other.
Don't forget you must pit the old Black versus the young Black males. The young Black males against the old Black males. You must use the dark-skinned slaves against the light-skinned slaves. And the light-skinned slaves against the dark-skinned. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. What's wrong with that statement that you don't see happen today? Tell me.
No, you tell me.
And all of it happens every day. Every day. You see Mark, young man running against old man. Keep the old against the young. You got Minnie Price, old lady, black lady, male against the male, female. Every time you see it, them oppositions happen right there. They keep that type of thing going all the time.
You think that's like a design of the way?
It's design.
Political interest?
Yes, it is. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. That's the way it has always been.
The Willie Lynch situation with Mark is just totally ignorant and out of place. Mm-hmm. Leave that Willie Lynch thing alone and start thinking times have changed.
Minnie Price has a different view. For one thing, she does not believe that taking money from white donors makes her nephew into some sort of pawn in the white man's master plan. The PAC takes money from white people all the time, she says. It's not different. Voters aren't going to see it as different. Minnie sees no reason why Mark should be embarrassed about where the bulk of his campaign money came from.
Cogdale wants to make everything about Black and white, and so does Harsh. That's the impression that I get from them, really. They have that mentality that, you know, if a white man give you something, you know, you got to do whatever he tells you to do when you get in that position. But that's not the way that I see it. That's slavery, man. That's a slavery mentality. Like they think, then you know, like it's back in slavery time, and it's not. You may think that we're in slavery. I mean, sometimes they act like or treat us like that, but it's not slavery anymore.
Wait, so slavery mentality, like, can you define that for me? What is that?
What I'm saying is like the white man, you know, you out there working for the white man, you sharecropping, you got to do what he says. He tells you to do this, you got to do it.
Because you owe him, like you're on his land or whatever.
Yeah.
Minnie Price and Horace and Cogdale are not that far apart in age or experience. They have overlapping histories when it comes to dealing with race and racism around here. And then they all left the area. They went and lived their adult lives far from Bladen County for many years. Those years away landed them in very different places when it comes to the fundamental issue of when, how, or even if you can trust and work with white people. When Horace recalls his time in the Army, serving all over the world, he talks a lot about the racism he experienced from white officers, even though, obviously, they were all supposed to be on the same side. When Minnie talks about New York City, where she lived and worked for 18 years, she tells stories about hanging out with coworkers, who are mostly white, getting a Coke after work, going out to eat. She made friends. She had a good job. She got promoted. She built a life on the idea that she could work with white people, be the boss of white people, and get what she wanted. She finally returned to Bladen County with that mindset intact. You can see it manifested outside the charter school she founded. Recently engraved on a stone outside is not Minnie's name, but the name Matt Campbell. She needed help with the school's gym, and she got a donation from rich, white Matt Campbell, the same Campbell who's given money to her nephew Mark's campaign. Horace and Cogdale see that stone with Campbell's name on it, that donation, as cynical, a way to control her. They figure that's why she's now trying to take Cogdale out, because she's beholden to Matt Campbell, and Campbell has it out for Cogdale. To them, it's a clear case of Willie Lynch in action. Minnie says she doesn't feel controlled She feels like she got something done through connections, just like a lot of people do. She wishes Horace and Cogdale would take another view sometimes. For instance, look at Mark's relationships with white people differently as a possible advantage in getting things done around here.
If they had a different, would take a different attitude and approach and just try to get along with Mark, it could be a whole lot different.
It could be.
It could be a whole lot different if they would just get rid of that animosity that they have in them and try to deal with Mark. Because Mark is open to dealing with them, but they are not open to dealing with him because they think that he's going to be the white man little token. And that's not true. But he's been dealing with white folks all of his life. All of his life. He dealt with them. He knows how to deal with them.
On election night, I figured there'd be a ton of people at the Board of Elections to see how this big race plays out. But no, COVID has made this election night cold and isolated. Instead of gathering at the Board of Elections, the county's decided to hold the election results watching party in a middle school gym for social distancing. When I get there, it's only reporters. Charlotte Smith with Bladen Online, who'd spoken up about the sales tax in that county commission meeting, a few others, and me. There's three county commissioner spots open, five people running. Cogdale and Mark could both lose. That's a possibility. Also, they could maybe both win. Cogdale and Mark could both end up on the county commission together after this long, bitter campaign. There's a big screen in front of the gym that keeps updating as results come in from the various precincts. Finally, Cogdale bursts in, looking distracted. He's the only candidate here. He pulls up a folding chair to the top of the key. We're on a basketball court. And asks me where he's at. Well, you're behind Mark and Ray, I'm saying.
When this comes up, this is going to be it. Hello? Why you figure that?
It's Horace. He says, you'll be all right. And Cogdale's like, how do you figure that? Cogdale looks a little stressed, holding the phone loosely to his ear, eyes fixed on the results. Horace gets into detail about what areas have voted, what's been counted, basically says, just wait. It looks like you're down, but the black areas haven't come in yet. Horace is like a coach, shaking the shoulders of his man, like, you're still in the game. But Ray Britt and Mark Gillespie seem to be running away with it. Cogdale and this Republican, David Gooden, are vying for the last open spot on the commission. There are very few votes between Cogdale and Gooden. Cogdale is ahead for the moment. Charlotte Smith with Bladen Online, she sees this as imminent victory for Cogdale and comes over to get his comment. She's got her phone up, horizontal. She's doing a Facebook Live, narrating as she wanders around the gym. Mr. Cogdale, you are in the lead right now, she's saying.
Mr. Cogdale, you are in the lead right now. Keep in your seat so far. How are you feeling about the race?
Good race. I'm saying a good one. I'm saying you got Washington.
Yeah.
And see what's going to end up here. See who coming in here, what's going to come in last. And still got how many? Three more precincts to come in.
Yes, sir.
Let's see what we got.
What's your goal if you get reelected? Have you worked with any of...
It's awkward. Charlotte is talking to Cogdale as if he's the victor, but Cogdale seems kind of freaked out while he vaguely lists his political goals.
Do you have any goals in mind that you
want to... Well, just do some economic development stuff in the county. If I can squeeze in here, I might be squeezing out of the door. But I think I might be all right.
Does he? It's not that he looks upset. It's that the mischievous part of his face is totally absent. The part I'm used to. He doesn't want to make jokes. These numbers he's watching, what if they don't add up? Not just for him personally, but what if they don't add up for the whole thing? The pack. The limited power they've managed to wrest out of a system that really is stacked against them. Finally, all the precincts are in, and all of us, about 10 of us there, just watch the projector.
This is it, right here.
This is it.
It's a make or break it.
Hello?
It's Horace again. Kaigdale is in by 15 votes. 15 vote win. I can hear Horace on the other end. Damn, them bastards, Horace says. Them bastards. They were shooting at me hard, Kaigdale says. I didn't see it coming, Horace says. I told you they were going at me as hard as they could, Kaigdale says. I don't know whether it's going to hold up or not. Do you reckon? So yeah, like I said, 3 seats, 5 people running. Kaigdale won by a hair. But Mark was in too, and by a lot more votes. On the hour-long drive from Elizabethtown to my hotel that night, Minnie called to talk about just that. I held my microphone up to the speaker with one hand while driving. She sounded psyched. Mark's win was her victory too.
Ma'am, this is Minnie.
Are you in a good mood?
I'm in a very good mood. My nephew came in second place.
He got a lot of votes.
Almost 400 more than Cogdale. You got 2 blacks on there, and Cogdale worried about splitting the vote. And I'm glad. I mean, Cogdale is on there, my nephew's on there. That's good. Like I told you, either way, it's fine with me.
For the record, Minnie has never said to me that Kaigdale being on the board is fine with her. Minnie keeps careful track of voting patterns as best she can, just like the pack. Who do you think voted for him? I asked her. Did you get a black-white coalition?
Black and white voted for Mark. Young and old. A lot of young people voted for Mark.
If she's right, this would be something remarkable in this county. Black and white voters putting a black county commissioner really into office.
You did.
I did.
That's Horace calling me on the other line. I say my goodbyes to Minnie and click over. Even though Kaigdale kept his seat, Horace's vibe is like the polar opposite of Minnie's.
Did Mark take black votes from Kaigdale, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, a lot. He got about 2,000. And Rip got a few, probably got a few too.
Well, how did it get to this point, do you think?
Minnie Price, she's been very destructive towards the organization.
Yeah.
We got a mess right now. We have a mess. What we're going to do is we're going to regroup, go back to the drawing board, see what happens.
Horace starts listing off the stuff Kaigdale does when he's not running for office. Working with felons on getting their records expunged. Helping people get funding to rebuild after back-to-back hurricanes down here. I ask Horace about Kaigdale, how he's doing.
He has to feel a little down, you know, just knowing that all he's put into trying to help people, especially people of color, and for them to just turn on him like that, it has to be disheartening, you know? It has to be.
By the time I got back to my hotel room, Horace was still talking, repeating himself, worrying. I almost never hear him sound vulnerable. He talks about how he just wants to help black people down here, where he's from. And why don't they want his help?
It's sad. It's so sad. It's a step back for my organization. It's a step back for black people in my county. But I can only say this to you. All I can do is keep fighting. That's all we can do. With that said, Ms. Zoe Chase.
Yes.
God bless you. Have a nice night.
Okay. I'll talk to you tomorrow, though, okay?
Sure. Okay.
2 years ago, when Horace first called me down to Bladen, he and Kaigdale were emphatic. They're out to get us, take us down. And now, here we are. Like Horace says, it's a mess. You can draw a direct line, I have, from the cheating allegations that have dogged the pack for years, to the hearing in Raleigh about the 2018 congressional race, to Democratic candidate Dan McCready distancing himself from the pack, which then led to a crack-up within the pack, which led to a deliberate splitting of the black vote and Mark's election, engineered by the former pack treasurer Minnie Price. Horace and Kaigdale couldn't have possibly predicted this exact sequence of events when we first met. They just knew something bad was coming. And after Minnie's big success, the question I had was, if the PAC falls apart, does it matter? Is its voting Black still the best way to build Black political power in Bladen County? Is the PAC still technically necessary? One way to think about that is to look at whether racially polarized voting is still the norm in Bladen County. A while ago, I asked the same guy who did the study back in 1987, around when the PAC was formed, were white voters still only voting for white candidates? Can you look again and tell me how much has changed here actually in how people vote? His answer was, not a lot. Not a lot has changed. I sent him a handful of elections from the last 10 years that I could find of a white versus a Black candidate in Bladen County. He sent me back the results with this bleak conclusion. If these contests are representative of all those taking place recently in the county, it appears that voters are approximately as polarized today as they were 40 years ago. If that's the case, Horace and Cogdale know their corner of North Carolina. The PAC and its voting bloc is still a big deal, and it seems still necessary. But the voting bloc is just people, and people are ornery and particular and egotistical and fickle. They're what makes the voting bloc powerful and vulnerable. It's like the cheating allegations kicked at the PAC and found a hornet's nest. Everyone inside got agitated and jumped up and zoomed around in different directions. Minnie went on the attack. Horace and Cogdale dug in. People split. And I don't know if Cogdale and Horace can keep everyone together or if people will splinter further. Especially since the suspicion in Bladen, the suspicion of cheating, the suspicion that someone's getting away with something, that's not going away. I submit to you this last quick story. Call it the epilogue. This past election, the Mark Gillespie one, November 2020, I went through all the complaints filed at the Bladen Board of Elections. Saw some familiar names in there, including Jane Pate and Bobby Ludlam. Bobby wrote up a complaint about Cogdale for improper voter assistance. Nothing ever happened, I heard. Nothing was done. So I called the Bladen Board of Elections and talked to the current director, Chris Williams, who investigated the complaint himself. He said he'd gone over to the polling place, talked to the poll judge. She said she hadn't seen Cogdale in there. He then drew a diagram of the polling place, determined this was very unlikely to have happened, the way Bobby described it, and Chris wrote it all up. The election board members considered it and decided not to hold a hearing. So, this being Bladen County, I'm sure that's the end of that. The Improvement Association is produced and edited by Nancy Updike and me. Neil Drumming is our managing editor. Julie Snyder is executive editor. Additional editing by Sarah Koenig and Ira Glass. R.L. Nave is our editorial consultant. Fact-checking and research by Ben Phelan. Music supervision and mixing by Phoebe Wang. Amy Padula is our associate producer. Inde Chubu is the supervising producer. Original music composed by Kwame Brandt Pierce. Additional support from the staff at This American Life, including Emmanuel Berry, Julie Whitaker, Cassie Howley, Seth Lind, and Francis Swanson. At the New York Times, Sam Dolnick, Lauren Jackson, Elizabeth Davis-Moore, Elena Serro, and Nora Keller. Special thanks to Matt Tierney, Stone Nelson, Mary Frances Berry, Lizzie Berryman, Matt Campbell, George Dunlap, Maria Edwards, Emily Featherston, Lindsay Gaza, Dana Green, Bob Hall, Kevin Leonard, Greg Martin, Pat Melvin, Phoebe Judge, and Sarah Price, Dr. Ophelia Mungoins, Ricky Price, Alexandra Settlemayer, Patsy Shepard, Alamine Sumar, Greg Taylor, and to all my colleagues at This American Life, thank you so much for your patience and support. And to everyone in Bleeding County, North Carolina, for your incredible generosity with your time. The Improvement Association is produced by Serial Productions and the New York Times.